Good morning.
Going to the hospital for the cold, my head, brother. It is great to see everybody this morning.
It is good to be here.
Yes, it is.
It's good to meet in person. It is. Been through a lot, but grateful to be able to meet in person. It's going to be, they say, 80 degrees by next Sunday.
Awesome.
It's like, man. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but I can take 80 degrees, no humidity, but it's going to get hot in Mississippi.
Oh,
yeah. It's going to get hot. And we're going to have to prepare. You know, one of the things with the weather in the when it gets cold is that there's humidity also, and it's very high when it gets cold. I never knew that. I looked at the news like, the humidity is high. And so, you know, that contributes to a little of the cool weather that we get. But just excited that we're able to meet together, excited spring is in the air, people getting out more. And of course, you know, we got to still take precautions and everything. Grateful for Gloria reminding us of that. I'm grateful for facilities that are still practicing some of that. And like you guys, yes, we do all have our issues and restraints. Like, oh, well, I gotta wear a mask. I know, I feel your pain, but you know, I'm always thinking, I'm always thinking like, you know what, man? You gotta wear a mask, but if you don't wear one, you get sick, you're in the hospital, you want somebody to save you. You want somebody to get you. And nobody wants to be sick, and I know more of that than anything else, guys. But just grateful that, you know, that we're making every effort to comply, not only here, but also in public. Which brings me to the topic of my lesson. It's called Full Display. Full Display. You know, I was at Home Depot the other morning, and as I was in Home Depot, I was, of course, up there getting some stuff, because, you know, this cold weather has brought out some unfriendly people, I should say some unwanted guests. In my household, I call it a rat, they call it a mouse. That's a kind of big mouse. Mm. Mouse, that's a big mouse. If it takes two glue traps that are together to trap it, and it's stretched out, I'm like, that's a big thing there.
Yes.
I was like, guys, a rat there. So, caught him, got him out. And then I think because we've seen one, I think we're kind of like got this little phobia going on. And so everybody like, I thought I saw something. So I said, watch where you stay. I got all kind of flat glue traps everywhere. And it's the same color on my floor. So if you don't notice, you'll be trapped. And so, you know, it's just like it's brought out all kind of stuff. But you learn things. I learned that mint is a rodent instinct deterrent. I didn't know that. I said, mint. Huh. And they sell it at the store. And the guy said, you're going to get you a couple of mint plants. He said, you'd be surprised. They deter this stuff. I'm like, wow. Huh. But that mint is strong. I'm like, God, this house is going to smell very minty.
Yeah.
But, you know, it brings out a lot of unwanted visitors, a lot of unwanted guests that we don't want. So I'm in Home Depot. And Home Depot has a big sign that says, please wear your mask. You have to wear a mask coming in. And I see the other people struggle like us. And I see this one guy in there, and he's looking like, I just don't want to wear any other face. But he's always, you know, you look at people like, are they looking at me? You look to see if they're looking at you because you don't have your mask on. And his wife has got her mask on. She's looking to see if we're looking at her, but she has the mask up under her. And I'm looking like, you know, we're just always on full display for something. Something's going on. But I go about my business, you know what? That people do what they're going to do. That people going to be what they're going to be, you know. But we just can't complain when we're dealing with the outcome of our decisions. But we're here with Jacob. And Jacob over in Genesis chapter 33, Jacob has made a lot of decisions in life, like us. And there are some outcomes he has to deal with. But recently, Jacob has had a great experience, a great encounter, a great time with God. Jacob has been able to experience something that you and I have not been able to and won't be able to until we leave this world. You know, Jacob has experienced a lot in life in a short time of living. But none of his experiences can equate to seeing the angels of God ascending and descending into heaven. Wow, who has seen that? Jacob has. What an experience. Also, none of them can equate to Jacob, who has actually been able to see God face to face. On this side of eternity, think about it, on this side, man, who has been to experience that? You know, in our own lives, we have experienced many things, such as jobs, families, friends, days go by and nights go by. But really, does any of them compare to an encounter with God where you get to see Him face to face? Man, what would you do if you saw God face to face? Would you truly wrestle with God?
No.
Would you put on your best WWE, I don't know, character technique, body slam, suplex, put him in the field of four like you're not going around? What would you do? You know, a meeting with God is meant to leave you as a changed person. Do you understand that? Jacob got to experience something that we will only experience when we leave this planet. He saw God face to face. What an amazing thing. You know, when I look over in, I'm going to turn to Exodus real quick. I'm going to read some. Just to help us understand exactly what Joseph was able to experience. Let's see here. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 17. Verse 17 says, "And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing I have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name." Ain't that great? We read that about four, but God said, Jesus said, no, it's important you know my name. He says, I'm pleased with you by name. And then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. I would say, I'm going to let him hear some Jacob. Jacob steps in God face to face. He told Moses, "You cannot see my face. You're going to see my glory, except for my face will not be involved in that. But I'm going to tuck you in somewhere nice as I pass by, and then I'm going to put my hand over you, and when I get passed by, you'll only see my back, and then you can see my glory." Just a little bit of it. Now, even that much of an experience with God is still like awe. It will leave you hungry for more. What a great encounter. Even that much should change me to say, man, I am a different person. I would not be the same. I may have came before God as one person, but when I leave and go back into the world, I will be somebody different. What an amazing thing. Even though Moses walked closely with God, he did not get the privilege of seeing God face to face. But yet, seeing God's back was still an amazing experience for him. You know, but his encounter with God was no less glorious than Jacob's. Both men were changed forever. Question for you. Have you ever been changed? Have you been changed from your encounter with God? Have your time and your experiences with God in your life, has it changed you? What has the encounter or experience with God prompted you to become? What has it prompted you to become? What has your encounter or experience in God moved you to do? Genesis 33, pick up a little bit more on Jacob's story. It says, Jacob looked up, and there was Esau coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and his two female servants. He put the female servants and the other children in front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph in the rear. He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. But Esau ran to meet Jacob. He embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and he kissed him, and he wept. Then Esau looked up and saw the women and children. Who are these with you? He said. Jacob answered, they are the children God graciously has given your son. The female servants and their children approached and bowed down. Next, Leah and her children came and bowed down. And last of all came Joseph and Rachel, and they bowed down. There's a lot going on here at the meeting of two brothers, really the reunion of two brothers. This first point I want to talk about in the reunion is talk about let your change be known. Let your change be known. Jacob, once again, is thinking, he's putting stuff together. You know how we get, be like, this is how I'm going to make it work. This is how it's going to work out great for everything. Of course, he puts his favorites in the back, Rachel and Joseph. This may be prompted to that later on in the future. This is going to be some issues in the family because they notice this. Female servants, you go first. Leah, you next. My precious, they're going to be in the back. Mm-hmm. But him and Esau has two different approaches when they're meeting. Now, think about the message Scott talked about last week about, you know, brokenness. You know, basically to healing of some strained relationships. But it looks like Esau's more broken than Jacob's broken. Mm-hmm. Yet Jacob was the one that had the encounter with God.
That's right.
Esau didn't. But Esau runs up. What did he do? He hugs. He's crying. He's excited to see. He kisses him. Man, I missed you. Jacob's plotting. That old Jacob's still showing up. Mm-hmm. All right, how can I plot here? How can I make sure this works in my favor? It doesn't say Esau was even thinking like that. You know, Jacob's strength actually was in his limp. You should understand this. It was actually in his limp. But we know where he's got his limp from. Where did he get his limp from? Wrestling with who? Wrestling with God. You know, it was a constant reminder that God had conquered him and he could trust God. But apparently right now he's not trusting him. Instead of putting his limp on full display so that he could be shown to be different, instead he bowed before Esau, which hid his physical altered state. Now, you know, one of the traditions in the Eastern is that, you know, they do this, they greet each other by bowing down and they also say, you know, shalom, or they say shalom. And we're familiar with a lot of that even still today. But you know, God made it clear to Jacob that all would bow before him. Genesis 27, 29 speaks to that. This is when Isaac blessed him. We know his daughter blessed, but Isaac told him, everybody's going to bow before you. Everybody's going to be blessed through you. This is our point. But you know, a lot of times when you have more of your behavior in you than God's behavior in you, guess what? You'll forget the things that God has promised you. You'll forget the things that God has promised that was going to happen in your favor. You know, ask yourself, are you hiding your significant change out of fear? Because your experience and your encounter with God should show you to be a changed person, a changed man, a changed woman. But if it is more of you that is growing in you instead of more God, then guess what's going to be on full display? It's going to be you, your sinful behavior, your sinful nature. And of course, you will hide the significant change that's supposed to be displayed for others to see. Are you hiding your knowledge of God's word out of fear? Are you hiding who God has called you to be in public? It's easy to be, I'm a godly man and godly woman behind closed door or amongst the body. But to take it out in public on full display, that's a different thing. Are you hiding it? You know, I was looking at something this morning. Something I know this thing. From a Church of Christ, name is Ronnie Wade. They were airing an original recording for 2017. And he was speaking on the thing about communion in the pattern. And they was playing this. I was like, oh boy, what are people watching this? But they were talking about the communion cup. And they were talking about just really this being like cross your ass, dot your teeth, dot, dot, dot with the Bible, like in line with every word. And they were talking about how the sharing of the cup is what it should be like when you do communion. that should not be no individual cups. I was like, oh, this is interesting. I'm about to get into this. He's like, there should be no separate cups. When do you come in? There should be one cup passed around all the time. And I'm listening like, man, this is interesting.
Yeah.
And he's supported with scripture everywhere. He said, read it. He said, says, a cup. He said, don't say cups. He said, hey, there's a lot, people like, back then, he said, a lot of people wasn't, into like, well, there's bacterial disease, all this stuff like that. He said, but when 1915 came around, somebody said, well, we're dealing with a lot of diseases now, we just can't be using the same cup. And he said, so they made the transition. And he said, but there's still some churches today that still use the one single cup.
Wow.
It's like, wow.
Yeah.
I said, it's interesting. I would like to attend the church and see how that works. It's just me. I'm like, wow. But I thought, man, they're not fearful of letting it be known who they are. Uh-huh. They're not fearful. They're like, look, we do one.
Well, I hear you, right?
But now he's a Church of Christ. I said, all right, come on. Bring it. He's an older gentleman. Silver gray hair, got that smile, but he's an older wife. And this. But he's supporting everything with the scripture. He said, that scripture support this. He says, but. Of course, we have the freedom. People choose how they're going to minister. But I was amazed, and I was just encouraged by his boldness to say,
amen.
This is what the Bible says it should be. He says, now, but this is it. And he said, there's still some traces of this. And this thing, and this report was 2017, he said, there's a Baptist church he's sitting on today that's still practicing. They'll do it if they do one cup. That's it. But I was just, man, look at the boldness. They were not afraid to let it be known what they stand for, what they believe in, who they are. Us guys know you need to let your calling be heard. Let your calling be known. Let people see and hear the God that is working in you and through you. Let your change be known. Jacob was not allowing his change to be known. It's amazing. I walk it a lot more now, and I'm feeling better these days. I'm really pumped. I said, man, my wife says, just rest. You just need rest. I said, well, I'm feeling good. Got in the yard. Scott, that's what I did. Got in the yard, trees. Fell down a couple of times, stumbling over woods. I just laid in the leaves, like, okay, whatever. This is fun. I felt like one of the movies, like, life is great. I just fell down because I was trying to pull a tree. But I walk in the neighborhood, walking a lot, seen this guy, I'm about 5 blocks away from my house. His kids, planting the yard, I walk past him. And what's on my mind if you know me. I walk all the way down the block, circle all the way back up, kid back up, he's still in the yard. I detour and started talking to him. That young man named Chad Atkins. Young guy, talking to him, seeing what's going on. I want to let it be known what I'm about, what I'm trying to do, and what we're trying to build here. And I hear his interesting story. And his story, the whole undertone was about trust. He says 8 years ago, he followed a best friend and he left him to North Carolina because his best friend wanted to start a church. He wanted to plant a church and he wanted to plant in North Carolina. I said, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Goes and plant, he says, but 8 years later, his friend had a better opportunity with a different church. And he left and went to that church. And the issue wasn't so much that he left went to the church. The issue was there was no leadership structure. And the church dissolved. And so he shared about it a little bit. And I could hear the hurt. And I could hear the disappointment in there. They ended up moving back to Mississippi, stayed with his mom and dad. His mom and dad stayed in Lake Carolina. I'm thinking like, oh, there's a lot more up there. Lake Carolina, if he said his wife finally got a place to stay over back happy. And they're renting it now, So he says, I go to New Redeemer, and I said, okay, well, that's great. Maybe if you might want to study the Bible, chance we can talk. He said, sure. I said, can I get your name? No. He said, give me your name and number. Can I give a name and number? He said, I'm calling you right now. He said, I'm going to text you later on. So, okay. So now you're like, well, maybe they're not going to text me alone. Maybe me letting myself be known who I am, I'm a disciple, I'm sharing my faith with them, maybe not. Guess what? He texted me later. I was like, oh, I got a text. I said, okay. I said, we'll be speaking soon. Fired up about that, man. Fired up about that. But I'm letting myself be known. Letting on, I'm like, man, I'm trying to go after some souls. And when I'm walking, I'm always talking to God. God, we got to move this thing. We got to let it be known. Day two, I'm walking in the neighborhood. But let me take you back a little bit. I bought my wife a new phone. It was overdue. You know me, like, I'm trying to hold on to everything until it, like, break apart. Maybe.
Yeah.
My phone won't even hold a charge. Charge it up and hold a charge. Phone like, look, do we die? You can't charge that. One got a phone for, talking to this guy there. Say, yeah, man, yeah, Gary. I said, man, I appreciate it. Going about my business. A couple of days later, I think I got her phone like on a Thursday, Saturday. Was Saturday? No. It was Friday. Walking through the neighborhood, coming down and see this guy say, it's your store. This is about 7 blocks from my house. I'm back in the wood, back in the neighborhood. Man, that's the guy that's over that phone. Can't give me no charges for my wife's phone.
Uh-oh.
So I said, I'm going to talk. Hey, man, what's up? You remember me? You know, of course, you're looking like, I really don't know you. I do a lot of customers. You sold me the phone a couple of days ago. I bought it for my wife. Man, get a charge. Yeah. But I remember you. Can I come back and get a charge? Yeah, come on back and get a charge. I said, all right. Head on to work. I said, Lord, I'm going to see him in the back of my mouth. Went out, went to the VA, got Sharice stuff. I had to get some more stuff done for her and signed. Went there, came back down the road, pulled in that Verizon place. Hey, man, what's up? What you doing? Yeah, man, took a charge. He said, man, I ain't got none. I'm sorry. He said, let me give you this one work fast. I appreciate it. I said, hey, go to church anywhere. I used to go to church up in Pearl, but I don't go nowhere. Don't go no more. Pearl. I said, okay, I'm in Pearl too. That's why I worship it too. So I know where you can come to. Talk to you in my car. I said, man, can we get together? So let me give you one of my cards here. I said, can I get your number? Yeah, hold on. Check out paper, pulled his name, pulled his cell number, and say, hey, this is my job, cell number 2, call me in here. Let myself in.
That's right. Come on. Amen.
When you have an encounter and an experience with God, it should leave you changed. When you say, you know what? I need to get out of this thing. I won't change. I don't want it to stay the same. Jacob's thought process was not like that, because Jacob had too much of the old him. Displaying too much of the old him in him. He depended too much on himself. He didn't depend enough on God. I prayed every day. I've been walking this week. Two guys happened to be at the yard. One just sold me a phone, and the other was trying to figure out, man, do I really want to be a part of another church that's just beginning? Mm-hmm. He's had an experience. Mm-hmm. We have to let ourselves be known. We cannot shrink back in fear. Door opens, we have to step through. Pick it up in verse 8. He says, Esau asks, what's the meaning of all these flocks and herds I met? He says, to find favor in your eyes, my Lord, he said, this is Jacob. But Esau said, I already have plenty. My brother, keep what you have for yourself. I don't need your stuff, man. Keep it. I'm good. No, please, said Jacob, if I have found favor in your eyes, accept this gift from me, for to see your face is like seeing the face of God. Now that you have received me favorably, he says, please accept the presents that was brought to you. For God has been gracious to me, and I have all I need. And because Jacob insisted, Esau said, okay, you won't let it go. I guess I will just accept it. Then Esau said, let us be on our way. I'll accompany you. But Jacob said to him, my Lord knows that the children are tender and that I must care for the ewes and cows that are nursing their young. If they are driven hard, just one day all the animals will die. So let my Lord go on ahead of his servant while I move along slowly at the pace of the flock and herds before me and the pace of the children until I come to my Lord and Seer. Esau said, then let me leave some of my men with you. But why do that? Jacob asked. Just let me find favor in your eyes, my Lord. You know, Jacob is still trying to plot and scheme around things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you know, like Jacob, we have to wake up and beware of there's an open door here to make it right. There's an open door. Point two, the open door. Esau already set the precedence when he ran up and what? Hugged them, kissed them, and wept. That's the door. It's open. But I thought about that, and I read it and thought, man, it comes back to what Scott said last week. Just broken to repairing a strained relationship. God created a path and a doorway. The door's open. You think Jacob stepped through it? Nope. He went in the opposite direction. Plotting and scheming all the things he could do that he thought was best. But he could not see that God said, there's an open door here to repair this. Not only to repair the relationship, but tell Esau, I saw God face to face. Wow. That's amazing. You know, Esau's heart was softened and already broken and ready to mend. It was just there. He greeted Jacob with a kiss and a hug. But instead of Jacob seizing the opportunity to talk to Esau about the past and get family matters straightened out, confessing his sin and sharing about God's grace in his life, he focused on begging Esau to accept his gifts. He said to Esau, seeing your face like seeing the face of God. But wait a minute. Didn't Jacob already see God face to face? I'm pretty sure it wasn't Esau's face. Man, and he said nothing to Esau about it. Nothing to Esau about it. Although God had been gracious to Jacob, he didn't share the facts in the details about his encounter with God, nor give God glory. Didn't tell Esau that God gave him a new name. And it's I've had a name change. Oh, we're not going to share that. You know, God made him a prince, but he acted more like a servant. You know, the day we said that Jesus was Lord, that's what God made us. Prince and princess. We are a royal. Peter confirms that. We are a part of a royal priest what? Wow! We're not meant to be serviced in a context that we think we are, although we are meant to serve people. We're the made a royal priesthood because Jacob neglected to share that. You know, when an open door is provided for you to sell in your past grievances and share how God has changed your life, will you walk through that door? Will you take a chance to notice the signs that God said, it's an open door? It's a chance to mend a fence. Make it right. The door, the opportunity is there. Will you do that? Or will you just look at the open door and go another direction like, well, I'm gonna figure this out. I'm gonna plan to come with something. I believe this is gonna work. So Jacob was doing, trying to do his own thing. You know, when that door is open, you have a chance to mend some old fences, to settle some past grievances, man, to share how God has changed your life. You need to walk through that door. God reiterates that in Romans 13:8. He said, "There's no debt unpaid, but the debt of what?" That's it, the debt of love. Romans 13 speaks about leave no debt in this world unpaid, except for the debt of love. And even going back to settle past grievances is loving people. Jacob didn't step through that door. Are you going to step through the doors when opportunities are presented to you? Or are you going to turn and walk the other way? We all have many doors that have been opened in our lives to make things right, to make things better. People's hearts and minds change over time, especially when they have been touched by something that God has done or that God is doing in their life. And you have to be aware, you have to wake up and see, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity for me to settle this, squash this, for me to have peace in this area of my life, in my heart and in my mind. So I can move forward knowing that this is one less thing I have to worry about. I can move forward in peace. Open doors are important, especially when God opens them for you to have an opportunity to make things right. Finally, guys, we're going to close out here in verse 16. So after Jacob has done all his begging and, you know, done all his stuff and everything, with Esau, Esau like, okay, you know, like, sure. We're going to go on, we'll wait for you and see her. Verse 16 says, so that day Esau started on his way back to Seir. Jacob, however, that's our guy, went to Sukkoth, where he built a place for himself and made shelter for his livestock. That is why the place is called Sukkoth. After Jacob came from Paddan Aram, he arrived safely at the city of Shechem and Cana, and camped within the site of the city. For 100 pieces of silver he bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, the plot of ground where he pitched his tent. There he set up an altar and called it El Elohi Israel. Remember God named it right there. But turn me to verse 31. We're going to come right back to 33. I'm going to start with chapter 31. Chapter 31, verse 13. Genesis chapter 31, verse 31 says, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land. I want you to understand, if you guys remember this, this is kind of when Jacob was in the midst of his other turmoils, had a dream, and he shared his dream with Rachel Leah, and the expression God told him was what? Leave here and go back to where? Bethel. Back to your native land where you were known. Remember that instruction. Now, we are two chapters before we get to this chapter in Jacob's life and storyline. But where did Jacob go? Did he go to Bethel? No, Jacob made a deeper didn't he?
Yeah.
He even set, built a house, set up a tent, didn't he? Bought some land, set up a house. I don't think that was the instruction, was it? So now we can delay it, though. We think we're doing a great thing by the way, we're making some big time. You know, final point is be faithful in obedience. Be faithful in obedience. If you have been a child, you know what it's like to be a disobedient child. It never works out good enough. If you have been a child in school and you're disobedient in school, you know it doesn't work good enough. As an adult working, we've had some jobs in life that may not have been good. We may have not responded to our former employers from way back. It just didn't end good for us because now we no longer work for them. It just, you know, if you're disobedient, it doesn't work. And if you think you're sacrificing yourself for something by being a martyr, and you think that's greater than obedience, you are fully and blindly misled. It doesn't work. God always says, he desires obedience over sacrifice. Like Jacob, in our lifetime, we have found it hard to be obedient in everywhere. Everything. We have wrestled with God when it has come to being obedient. We're trying to think there's got to be a better way than the way that God is pointing me in. But do I really have to go in this direction? Do I really have to go through this door? Does it really have to be done this way? Just because you decide to do it another way doesn't make it right with God. Just because you decide to do it another way, it does not make it right with God. Just because you decide to do it your way, clears up for you, doesn't make it right with
God.
If you think I'm kidding, if you've been a child, and we all have been a child, and for some reason when our parents instructed us to do something a certain way, we got it in our mind that we're going to do it this way because we believe it's better, and we find out later on that doesn't matter if it was better or not. That's not what I asked you to do. That's not what I instructed you to do. And so there are consequences behind that. It's sad to say, Jacob and his family are going to find that out the hard way. There's going to be some things that are going to happen. It's not going to be good for the family. But You know, God told him to go one way, but he chose to go another. God is telling us to go in a certain direction in our movement, in our Christianity, in our walk with him, but we have to stop going in another direction. Whether it's your individual walk, as you're walking with God, or whether you're walking with the body of Christ, we have to stop going against God in another direction. You know, going against the will of God will cost you something every time. It just does. It just cost us.
Yeah.
And then we try to figure out how to get out of it. We're back. Look, we got into it because we thought we knew better. And now we're trying to get out of it by thinking that we still know better. When all we need to do is be like, I just need to be obedient. I just need to learn to comply. Now, it doesn't matter how much you sacrifice. It doesn't matter what you sacrifice. It's about how well you obey. That's it. You can sacrifice till the cows come home. You can sacrifice till Jesus come back. But the one thing that he is interested in above all things that you do is, how well did you obey? How well did you follow instructions? No, I love my grandson, but he's getting to the age. You know, you want to see human beings in full display, a grandchild. He was at a certain age before he fully got to his twos, where if you tell him not to do something, he'll be like, let me do this and go. Okay. It's like, we're like, wow. Dude, the other girl be like, oh, we love him. He just do whatever he tells him. Oh, a few months later, I guess it's called the characters kicking in. Bryson, don't want to comply, don't want to obey. Once they're doing, he growls. I said, oh, we're hitting that stage where he wants to try to go, is it? On the way. But you look at life like, it's not going to work well for him. Because you're a two-year, you're an adult. You will be corrected by the adult in the house. God is the adult in your life. You can growl, murmur, stop, go whatever, you can do whatever. You can try to get all the other little kids in the world to comply with you. But God is the adult in the house. And correction is going to come if you don't obey. You know, family guys, and if you perfect obedience in your life, then others will see your change. You know, if Jacob would just do what God told him to do, go to Bethel, back to your nose and man's land. People would notice it. If Jacob would have shared about his encounter with God to Esau, man, things could have been different. Mm-hmm. You know, if you perfect obedience in your life, then others will see your change. You know, if you perfect obedience in your life, then you will be able to walk through that open door. If you perfect obedience in your life, man, then you will be able to obey faithfully. Ain't that something?
Amen.
Let's make sure your Christianity is always on full display. Simply because you obey, you obey, and you obey. Thank you so much, guys.
Amen.